Welcome to Put This On, Season 4, Episode 38, where you watch Love is Blind, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm Chris Lorenz.
This is James.
I'm Brian.
I'm Harrison Hoffman.
Annabeth Love Pod.
Annabeth Love Pod. What does Annabeth believe? Does Annabeth believe Love is Blind?
You know what? No.
Hot takes right off the bat.
Some might say that your voice is sort of like another sense and you paint a picture, which is what we're doing right now on this podcast for our listeners.
But it's not to be confused with a date pod.
A date pod?
Right.
What's a date pod?
Did you not watch the show?
Oh, no, no.
We just watched a whole show about
pod,
date
pod. It's all the same. That's a thesaurus, baby.
Hey, if you want to reach out to anyone on the podcast that, you know, might be single, you know, you can tweet at us at Hooper This On. You know, we can find out if Love is Blind via our own study, not Netflix's study. Harrison, you got this show description for us?
Nick and Vanessa Lachey host this social experiment where single men and women look for love and get engaged all before meeting in person. That's Love is Blind on Netflix.
Man.
That's very descriptive on what this show actually does.
Short and sweet from Netflix.
Can we talk about the host for a second?
No, no, we can't talk about Minutia yet.
No, but that was the only thing that was in this intro sort of description that was interesting to me.
I'm shaking my head right now.
Okay, I trust you. You're the host of the pod. You can decide where our journey goes.
So, I mean, the general gist of the show is that they have like 12 men and women in like this like house where the men live by themselves, women live by themselves, and they meet up in these like closet rooms essentially next to each other. Some sort of
teen choice.
It's like
describe that.
It's they're like closets.
It's like a bathroom without a toilet or with like sort of like this waterfall frozen wall.
It's like a bathroom without a toilet, shower, or sink. It's more like a living room with no TV.
It's just like a small living room with a couch, guys. It's just a little room.
It's kind of like
why did you describe it as such an insane thing that wasn't anything?
It's
close.
Like a phone booth without a phone.
No,
no, it's big.
It's
no,
like
it's
a
not.
Small living room that's as big for a small all right. couch. That's all it is.
Minutia. We're not at the minutia.
The so listeners have to visualize the pods.
Yeah. So you get
paint.
Into these pods, and one side has a guy, one side has a woman, and they talk, but they don't see each other, and they grill each other about, you know, their past, future, whatever. And they decide if they want to go on more and more dates with these people. And eventually, you know, the whole goal of the show essentially is it's like 10 days they're in this like facility going on these dates. Then they live in the real world for 30 days. And then there's a wedding at the end of this.
Oh, my God.
So the idea is that after 10 days in this facility, they decide if they want to get, well, they propose, or I guess that they just leave if they don't propose to anyone.
Yeah, it's unclear,
it's unclear what happens to the people that don't click with anyone. Anyway, so we get to see like a couple people go through date pods and like go through a bunch of dates, and we get to see one proposal in episode one.
And it got through like day 5 of 10 in the date pods zone, seems like.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll get into that, but that's essentially what happens in the show. You see people date in these like date pods, which I think that, you know, we talk about the production value, but I like the camera angles for these pods. So, yeah, now
we're going to get into the production of the show, Chris.
We really need to get some like, the like noises between like segments, and we got to have that production value segment, the production segment, the production schedule. Like this one, they've given us the production schedule.
Yeah, no guesswork on the production schedule here, but I do want to guess a little bit about what's going on with this facility that they're in.
what kind of
building are they in?
Like, it's got to be like a warehouse, right?
I think it's just that they're living in a huge warehouse.
Right. Yes.
Like some kind of fabricated house inside of a warehouse. But
so is it like
definitely
a,
all made up.
Is it a soundstage that they've converted? Like,
yeah.
Even, like, that makes sense for the pods. But like where the people are living, like you're not going to fabricate a whole like dorm.
Dude, there was no windows.
Yeah, there were definitely no windows in there.
Where are they showered? Where are they sleep? Like where are the bathrooms for like 50 people to live in this warehouse?
We never see any of that stuff. So maybe it's not in that building. Maybe there's only a big common room and they're at some hotel off premises and they come there every day.
I think that's a good call. Like they're staying at like a hotel across the street.
Yeah. Because I think we would have seen a hint of like people chatting on a bed, like people like in the bathroom. Like you never see any of that.
Yeah. This is the soundstage they've constructed this set on. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. So let's get back to these hosts. Annabeth, who are these hosts?
I don't know who these hosts are, but Harrison knows.
Well, one of them is Nick Lachey from 98 Degrees.
Is that...
I remember the boy band 98 Degrees.
I totally remember, but like, is this his only claim to fame other than that? Like, is he like a member of the world?
Like, I think that he kind of rose to fame as a part of 98 Degrees, but then kind of has become sort of a TV personality type. Like, since then, you'll see him, he'll like host some stuff. He's just kind of a TV guy now, I think.
Okay.
And then
what about his wife?
I don't really know a lot about his wife, to be honest with you. I don't know that much about Nick Lachey either, other than he was in 98 Degrees and he's the host of this show now. But I feel like you hear him pop up from time to time.
So according to Wikipedia, so he was a multi-platinum selling boy band 98 Degrees and later starred in the reality series Newlyweds. So they're both reality star people that we should probably know as a host of a reality like star reality show podcast.
So he was the subject of a different reality show as a newlywed to that other to his wife who's on the show also.
Newlyweds and Nick and Jessica.
All right.
Oh, okay. I
feel like that rings a bell.
Like, but it's Jessica
Bravo?
Simpson.
It's got to be Bravo or E
TLC
or maybe TLC.
I don't know.
USA.
I'm not good at internet corner stuff. I can't.
The corner really slipped through the cracks there. But here's the thing about these hosts. Are they really hosts at all? Because they are not in this show.
No, they show up on the first day. That's about it.
Yeah, it's weird that like obviously you pull in these famous people to be like a brand to get people to start watching. But it's like, why are you paying these people anything? It's just such a joke.
Just like it adds a sense of legitimacy to the whole situation. I think
for
both the viewers as well as the people who are there, like at least you're like, I mean, you're in the weirdest possible situation when you're on this thing. Like you are locked in this house that might not have any windows. You're having these long conversations in these love pods. You might think to yourself at some point when you're there, like, is this real? Like, what is going on here? Am I being had in some way? And then you might think, oh, wait, Nick Lachey did introduce me to the situation, so everything's probably okay.
That would convince me even more that I was tripping out so hard that I had conjured up this boy band celebrity.
But it's like, this isn't the only show that does this. Like, lots of shows will have, like, an intro host, and then they just disappear. And you're like, what? Like, what is their job? Like, their job is nothing. And people just accept it, and, like, we move on. We're like, oh, yeah. That's right. Nick Lachey was in this. And you're like, well, Nick Lachey will never be back in the show. You'd think he'd be back in for like the wedding or maybe.
I think,
but
it's
like,
just
he's probably not going to be there.
Maybe he officiates the wedding.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing is clickbait, guys. That's all it is. It's clickbait for Netflix to be like,
for sure.
You click the show, it says Nick Lachey in the title description. Like, okay, maybe you give it a watch. It's damn clickbait. That's all it is.
It's effectively a celebrity endorsement of the show.
Right.
Like, that's basically what we're looking at here.
Do you think Netflix would request, like, somebody from Cameo to do that?
They just put a Cameo video at the front of the thing?
Yeah.
The fact that it's funny
because they're just, like, reading the script. They're like, they don't, like... quite know how to pronounce
it.
Like,
says
what it
here,
is like, huh, never
it's
heard
a
of that.
Special 3-week event.
I'm TJ
<That's>
Lavin.
Cool.
Well, like, I've definitely, I feel like we've seen where they just had like a telepresence of the guy and not actually the person in the studio.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah.
Well, wasn't it the LeBron show? Like, he wasn't even in the show. It was just like the green screen version of him introing the show, and that was it.
It was definitely just like a trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
It was insane. Dude was not on that show.
Skype him in.
It was basically just produced. like as a.
All right, so let's get into the meat of this show a little bit. So like, they start like it's very odd because they like intro a couple people, and like you pull these like guys start rolling to this house, women start rolling to this house, and you see like you just start seeing like tons of people, and you like only know like a couple people's names, and you really like. But like it takes like a good chunk of time to figure out like, oh, really only following these people and they never introduce any of the other people.
Like it's definitely weird, but I think it's kind of a necessity of the format. And like, I mean, would you say they're like what, 10 guys, 10 girls or something like that?
I have no idea how many people.
It's probably somewhere in like the 10 guys, 10 girls sort of zone. And you just know that after 10 days of just talking to people, there are only going to be so many of those people who are actually going to get engaged and like kind of be carrying on the show. So like, I really do think that we've met the people so like who are actually going to go past the 10 days. And like we are just not going to be spending a lot of time with the rest of the people because they are not going to be on the show anymore after episode 2.
No, I think like, you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
I think okay. that there's going to be like 3 episodes of just the beginning.
I totally agree.
You're
going
to go through the beginning with different sets of people.
Oh, so you think they're going to rewind it to day 1 again on the, yeah. when the next episode starts. That's interesting.
I think that they're... That'd be I cool. almost said we should have watched the beginning just to like clarify, but the next time on definitely made it seem like they're going to go way deeper with some people we have not met.
That'd be good, for sure. Or like maybe, you know, like the spark starts on day 6 for some other people and they kind of come into play a little bit more. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
So like I wrote down as many names as they told us. Or, like, showed up on the screen that I caught. There were 9 women and 8 guys. So, like, conceivably, I probably missed a couple. So, there could be, like, 10 to 12.
I feel like it's 10. Because so all the pods are all, like, lined up in this hallway. And they all have a number over them. And I think there are enough that everyone can be in a pod. And I think there are 10 sets of, or 10 pods.
That seems like, man, you're risking a lot there. You're the, like, 10, hoping that one... like 10 people connect with one of the other people. It's just like, this seems pretty low odds. Like, yeah. I wonder how many people make it past this, like get into this proposal stage of the show. Like this, like real world, like part of the show.
Like, I bet that it's not more than half of the people.
Oh, I can't imagine it's more than 4.
4 couples or 4 people?
4 couples. I'd bet 3, but I could see 4.
Well, yeah. Here's the problem. So spoilers, but like as they show in the fucking season preview, there's like 5 weddings. So like half get married.
Well, I don't know.
They show face for face people.
I mean,
like,
I wasn't analyzing the next time on, but they definitely.
I definitely just watched it because they showed it to me, which is insane. And we should come back to that.
Way too many spoilers.
We'll go back to that.
Bananas.
Brian, you have any thoughts?
I'm trying to think about how many I would vote for, but.
It's really kind of hard to tell after one episode.
No, and I tried to ignore the season coming because,
yeah. Yeah. So let's go over the people that they kind of go over more. So we've got Diamond and Carlton are kind of more introed in the show. Mm-hmm. So Diamond is a professional basketball dancer, mm-hmm. and she's 28. Now, her mom really nailed her name really well. She could only have one more profession that would nail it even harder. But
man, I thought Chris was being real. And then he's just throwing so much shade. Slipping the shade in.
I mean, you know, you got to. Then we've got Carlton.
He's just moving on just like that.
Yeah, he's 34. He's a social media marketer. He is a quote unquote, in my notes, spiffy black guy.
I feel like there are a lot of people in the show who are like social media marketers, content creators, like some kind of like internet content creation job.
I have a lot of the like people, what their professions are. So that's also something we could dig into. But like, it's like really hard to go over. Like, they seem to like each other. And then they like, we get brief glimpses of their like audio dates in the dating pods. And. Like, I don't even know how to describe these people in, like, a real meaningful way.
It's tough because, like, you see, like, so many, like, random jumps, especially, like, in the first episode. Like, Carlton also, like, ducked out of one of them. And I don't remember, like, who was with because it happened so quick.
Yeah. That was funny. Like, he was just like, I don't know. I don't remember the context.
He like asked her a question, and then she kept talking, and she was telling the longest story, right?
Yeah,
and
she started talking about building.
Oh, it was with the ex-military girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he asked, like, something, and he's like, oh, I'm really a guy's girl, and he was like, well, I'm out. Forget it.
Carlton was weird.
The only real notable thing was that Carlton got emotional because he's bi, and he's not sure a woman would, like, marry a bi guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. That is his greatest fear.
That is his greatest fear, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's the only notable thing about either of these people, I think.
Feels like a little hint of what's to come.
Yeah, I feel. Also, their story isn't done, so mm-hmm. like we'll get to the story that is all essentially done, but like we don't know. They could end up getting proposed and going through this wedding thing. But we don't know. We only got the day five, which only had one proposal. So it's such a weird format right now. It's
super weird.
Yeah,
I wish that. I mean. They have like little confessional kind of bits with all these people, but they don't really give you a lot about themselves in those either. They don't give you like an opening like we got like on The Circle, where everybody sort of gave their bio and said where they were from. Like, you only get that kind of stuff in the Love Pod.
Yeah, I mean,
well, or when they did do it, it was pretty like shallow, right? It was like, super. Oh, I'm blah blah blah. I'm this old. I'm from this city, and I maybe this is my profession.
Yeah,
that was it.
They
like,
did it.
That was
you. It's finding hard to connect with these people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's episode one, so like, how much can you really connect with somebody? Like, connect more than that, like Lego show. Like, not.
Yeah,
like, there's nothing to connect with there. But like here, people are trying to make connections. There's a lot of like off video and audio of these two people like talking about their whole lives.
Yeah,
and we get none of it.
And, like, I mean, like, I just want to hear how they got to this place.
That's fair.
Like, I just want everyone to be, like, to, like, tell their, like, dating journey or whatever and be like, yeah, so now I'm locked in this in this hellscape because it's my only chance. Like, I just want to know, like, what happened to them that this was, like, they're out. That is very interesting. Never get that.
Because it's, like, kind of the only thing you're kind of getting is sort of the, like, they sort of will go into some bigger questions of, like, you know, what's their preferences? How do they want to be treated? Do they want kids? Do they want to, you know, like that kind of stuff? But that's like about all you hear.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't really get any of the like meat behind the stories or how it kind of developed.
And that's all super generic stuff. It's like, right. What would you want if I was your husband? It's like, oh, I'd want you to smile at me every day. It's like, all right, what is this?
Right.
So Annabeth, I really have to ask. How dark do you think this place is?
I mean, I think this is, I don't know. I think it's kind of a dystopian world. Like, you know, like I feel like they're all in the Matrix and like we don't have bodies anymore. And like, this is how we have to connect, whatever, whatever. But I think it's just, it's baffling to me to like have a show like this where the premise is super weird and nobody like really acknowledges how weird it is. Like, everybody's like, oh, is this kind of weird? And like, I don't get to see him. But like, this is a terrible situation.
But like, what about all the other dating shows? Like, they're all like pretty insane in some way. Like Temptation Island, come on.
Sure, 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 sure.
Is Temptation Island a dating show?
It is a little bit. I mean, like, it's definitely trying to date. Like, people are trying to date.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be trying to date.
This is actually my same problem with Temptation Island. How did those singles get there? What is their story?
Where did you go wrong?
Like, how did this fit into your life? Like, what is this?
It's really interesting watching this show back to back with Flirty Dancing also, because Flirty Dancing is kind of, in a weird way, like the opposite of this show, where it is like you cannot talk, you can only look, and in this you can only talk and you can't look. But at least in that one, they were pretty clear about some specific reasons why these people were interested in being on a date where they didn't have to talk. Mm-hmm. And like they like each had some weird, unique reasons about why they needed to be on a date where they can't talk. But there's none of these people who've been like, yeah, I don't know, like every time I go on a date, like, you know, we're messaging online and I think that they're into my personality, but we meet in person and they see me and like what I mean, like the, like there was nothing, you know, I don't know.
Well, you get some points, but they're all pretty like just straightforward, which is like, oh, there's an age gap. oh, like race is a thing. Oh, like some other kind of religion is a thing or right. something to that effect. But that was it.
Well,
like there was no story behind it or like example. It was just like, oh, this one dude was short and they're like, yep, women don't date short people. And like, he's like, that was it.
So
some of these people I feel like did have those reasons.
I definitely wonder what the recruitment was like for this and kind of what they thought or knew that they were signing up for at the time, because I mean, it might not have really been pitched as like a Love is Blind type of concept. It might be like, hey, you're going on this crazy dating show, it's going to end up with you potentially getting engaged and married to somebody, just trust the process.
Well, that's why I think it's even wilder, and like these people must have like actual intense reasons, because like the outcome of this show is really drastic. It's not like Flirty Dancing where it's like, oh, like this will be
maybe
fun
you're going
for
on
a
second
week
date.
Yeah, and like maybe I'll get some more Instagram followers, whatever. Like, this is dire, you have to get married.
It's not quite in the same zone as Married at First Sight in terms of like intensity there, but it's close. Like at least you get to have some discussions. You can punch out at a bunch of different points. I mean, Married at First Sight, I mean, you're showing up and getting married on day one. I mean,
it's easy to set the context for the show using Married at First Sight, though.
Yeah.
Like, hey, would you be interested in Married at First Sight? And they would say yes. And I'm like, okay, let's talk to you. And then put you for on sure. the show where you get like more, you'll have more context. You don't have to do it at first sight now. You have it like, you have this 30-day journey. There was a 40-day journey?
35 days.
Yeah.
Something like that. to like getting married instead. So like this is kind of like a more low-key version of that, but still intense.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I agree with you that like even when you go on Married at First Sight, there's a whole episode where they go about talking, interviewing all these people. You definitely don't get a whole sense of like their home lifestyle, why they're doing this, what led them here, like are they divorced, like what, like they have kids, like what is their life, like no idea.
I'm guessing we will learn that as the series progresses, but yeah, it's definitely, we don't
it
have
just
a
makes
right
it
now.
Really hard episode one for me to like connect with these like eight people we're about to discuss in like the briefest of details, because there's nothing to say.
Totally.
Like, we don't really know anything about them.
Chris, can I give you a hot take question?
Sure.
Would you rather have to get married from this show in the Love Pods, where you get to talk, to 10 women in the Love Pods,
yeah,
and then get married, or be on Married at First Sight and have Dr. Pepper pick out your future spouse?
Ooh. I mean, you got to trust the process.
Which process, though, do you trust more?
I don't know. I feel like Dr. Pepper, you know, I feel like that process is better. But like, if you, Dr. Pepper picked the 10 people in this room,
ooh,
then like,
that's the ideal.
That's what I'd want.
That's ideal. You
need
can't,
Dr. Pepper.
You can't get both. You can't get both. But that would be a great show.
It is either Dr. Pepper and you have to marry that person, or random casting agent, and you have the option of potentially not marrying that person, or you have your pick of the people.
I think looking at the professions of all of the people on the show, and what I assume the reasoning is of being on the show, I'd probably rather be on Married at First Sight.
What do you think the reasoning is for being on the show based on the professions?
There, as you said, there's social media marketers. There's a lot of like just kind of people. I don't know if they're here for the right reasons. And like, I feel like getting the interview for like the Married at First Sight would be more intense and more like, actually, if they don't find anybody for me, I won't be on that show.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that there might be some people here who actually are here to get Instagram famous and have no intention of getting married, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
That's fair.
So let's get back to some other people we met on the show. Instead of having that question around the corner. Maybe we'll get back to that.
I love a good hypothetical, though.
So we've got Jessica, and she has a conundrum, according to this episode, where she's really into Mark and she's really into Barnett, which we know we'll have to get into it. But Annabeth really likes Barnett. So Jessica is a regional manager. She's 34. And we've got
regional manager of what?
Didn't say.
No clue.
not an idea.
There's a manage, and it is. There's a region, and it's being managed by her.
But like, there's only certain jobs with regional managers, right?
Like, no, there's lots of jobs with regional.
Yeah,
managers.
Yeah,
could
totally.
Be
like
many
anyone,
any kind of sales
anything.
Job,
any national job will have a regional manager.
Michael Scott.
Chain.
Right. I cannot think of Michael Scott.
It could be Michael Scott. She is Michael Scott.
We've got Mark. He's a 24. He's a 24.
What are
he's
his 24. Paper needs? Do you know
he's
his paper needs?
He's a fitness instructor. And we've got Cameron. He's 28. He's a scientist, but he does AI research.
Oh, boy, is he a scientist. He makes it very clear he's a scientist constantly.
Annabeth, can you tell me more about Barnett?
Well, you didn't say what Barnett did.
He's a scientist.
No, Cameron's a scientist.
Oh, did I read the wrong guy?
Yeah.
Sorry. Barnett, sorry. You're right. Cameron, which we'll talk about later. He's 28 and he's a scientist. Barnett is 27. He's an engineer.
Also, of what? No idea. No idea what
industry.
Oh, the
guy that said he does AI?
No, that was a scientist. Oh,
damn it. They're all so specific about anything.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Annabeth, will you tell us about Barnett?
It's hard to describe because, as we've said, we know very little about these people, but he comes in really hot. He is a bit of a player. He likes to turn the conversation to the sexual. We see him chatting up a lot of ladies, but then his eye's on Jessica. But their connection is a mystery to me. I don't know if anybody has some more light on why these two get along. I have no idea.
Well, according to,
I'm getting some real anti-Barnett vibes, though, from this side of the room.
Well,
I thought he was just trying to be a jokester and, like, make sure that, like, his sense of humor could vibe with the other people. So he's like, I'm not going to hide it. I'm just going to go right for, like, living his own element and, like, that's just his, like, joking style. Which I feel like there was some some hate going on against this, which is okay.
I just don't think he's styles. I don't think he's my vibe. If I walked in the love pod and I had to talk to this guy,
right?
And you know, like I don't know anything about you, and I'm trying to have a conversation, and he's just being weird. I don't think I'm feeling that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and like you could just walk that. Out of the booth. You
I know.
Could just, you could just go and like knock. Just get out of there.
I know. I might.
I'm really happy that you can do that, though, because like, every other time it just feels like, oh, I'm trapped for this. No, you're not. It's great.
You're done.
But it's so nuts. How would you know when the person leaves?
Well, that's
like,
why
are you still there? Like, who knows?
she was like, are you there? Like, hello? And
he's like, not.
You're just in the room. That's such a bad way to find out that you like this person is not working out.
It's okay.
You're just in there literally talking to a wall.
You just got to interrupt and be like, sorry, this isn't going to work. I'm out. But no, he's going to be the complete that can just walk out.
Yeah, just walking out. It's so mean.
But it,
ghosting even happens in the pods.
Oh, pod. It's harsh, harsh world out there. It's nuts. So we're back to Mark, Jessica, and Barnett.
Well, what did everybody else think about Barnett? I've made my opinion clear.
I thought he was kind of funny, but as the show went on, like I could care less about who him. And like Mark, as we compare to Mark, he's young, he's passionate, he seems like really into Jessica, whereas like Barnett's like, I like Jessica the most, but like we don't really get the passion from Barnett in the same way. Mm-hmm. Which, what does that mean? He's just not as passionate, so like what the hell do I know?
there's kind of interesting like body language element to this too, because people are just kind of doing whatever in these pods because they're not in front of the other person when they're talking to them. So, like, Barnett is often just kind of, like, laying on the couch sort of, like, lazily just kind of, like, talking about this, you know, potentially getting married to this person. And, like you kind of see it with a few people, and it's just weird and, like, not the way that you would be acting if you were actually in the room with somebody.
Well, and on top of that, one thing we have not gotten into yet, and I can't believe we're however many minutes in, which is, so they're on these dates, right? And they just have notebooks and they're taking notes.
Yeah.
Not a normal way to be dating. So it's just really interesting of like, because of the room, the situation, there's a whole other element at play.
But if you're dating for marriage, rapid fire speed dating, I'd want the notebook.
Oh, well, yeah. We say rapid fire speed dating. I think it's like the same format as speed dating, but there's no element of speed. There is all the time.
So there's to the production hours. Schedule.
Many, many hours. You have days.
Yeah.
How long are these pod sessions, do we think? How long are they podding per day? How long per session?
What is the mechanism?
All right, we're going to have a schedule.
Should we make a
definitely
transition
an hour
sound?
A pod,
the
for
production
sure.
schedule button.
Dude, it's definitely like a 60-minute pod combo.
I feel like it's an 8-hour day.
And okay. It's just however you want to split it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you choose
your
first potters.
Day, you meet everyone for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes with breaks between. Mm-hmm. And the next day, you give a list. Then they, like, the producers just give you a schedule.
Yeah.
And, like,
that might
you
be
just,
it.
Like, somebody just new walks in and you're like, you have no idea who it's going to be.
It definitely makes a lot more sense that the producers prepare a schedule. Because in that first episode, when they're all just kind of, there's 10 doors, and they're all just kind of walking back and forth down this hallway going into rooms. And you're like, how is anybody going to, like,
yeah,
meet
obviously
everybody
the
when
producer,
they're moving on both sides?
The producers, like, tell them which room.
For sure.
That's what they got the notebook for. It's got right. their schedule.
Got their schedule.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Tells them when there's bathroom breaks and lunch breaks.
So one thing,
it's like middle school.
Yeah, there's a bell.
I think there's one thing that really does make Mark and Jessica seem like way more realistic. It's because at some point Mark says that, like, oh, I'm really looking for somebody really Christian. And Jessica's like, oh, me too. And Mark's like, yeah, I got this tattoo.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to describe this tattoo?
I know it's on his ribs.
So
to start.
It's a cross. Yeah. With a psalm, with a like a psalm number on it.
Yeah.
And it has the initials of his parents, and it has two blank spots for the initials of his future children.
Okay. Yeah. I have a question here.
Yes.
So there's two blank spots for the two mm-hmm. kids.
Yes.
What about the wife?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where is she? Also, he says he wants three
kids. Right.
That's also bamboozling.
You can
where's
find
that,
more space
that going?
In the tattoo.
But why is he so clear that, like, there's space for two? There's the two kids. One kid's getting left out, and the wife is just
the wife gets its own tattoo. The wife gets to pick, decide, gets the heart with the name in it, you know?
Oh,
she doesn't need to be the cross.
Wait, I figured it out. You have to name your kids so they all have the same initials so that the wife can have one spot and all the kids can have the other spot.
Yeah.
Can't be Sharon.
You're solving problems
That's
for Mark.
That's it.
You're solving problems
Mark,
for Mark right
I got
now.
You.
All our names.
I definitely knew, like, a family growing up whose kids all had the exact same initials. Like, they just named their kids all the same, like, first letter, first name.
So definitely my dad's side, all of them had, like, R. They were all
yeah.
R names.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know their middle names. I don't think their middle names were the same. So they,
yeah,
they, had, they had different, like, initials, but, like, they obviously have the same last name. So, like,
yeah.
Do you think anyone had a tattoo of the first initial, last initial to
of
represent
what?
Everyone.
No.
Okay.
Matching monogrammed robes.
The robes would get messed up. You don't know which robe is your robe.
So the last two people we kind of meet this episode are Cameron, which I've mentioned already, which is the scientist. And we meet Lauren, which Lauren is 32. She's a content creator.
Mm-hmm.
And they propose at the end of this thing, like day four, was it day three?
Five.
Well, day four, they said, I love you.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, they were really like emotional.
They were crying by day two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were really vibing. They vibed.
This connection, they had, deep.
They had a love at first. What was
sound?
No, sound is what we came up with.
Oh, yeah.
Sound was the best one.
Love at first.
I
like sentence.
I like sentence.
I liked sentence.
They said like voice in the show.
That's not good.
So there's this moment where they were all like all the women were around and she was like, love at first. And everyone was like trying to imitate that.
I bet the producers were furious because they were like, this is going to be such a good catchphrase for our show. And then she couldn't think of a word.
The vodka in the room really screwed them over on this one.
Yeah, there was a lot of alcohol on this whole show.
There was.
There was one great time where like somebody was mentioning like, you have enough wine? No. There's too much air on the top.
Fill it up.
You got too much air on top of that wine.
There's definitely a lot of candid shots of them just pouring more alcohol.
They're drinking
a lot of alcohol pouring. I mean, if you're looking
like tiny airplane liquor bottle size.
Yeah.
Like airline yeah, size.
Grab you know, a couple of those for the pod.
If you're looking for your future wife or husband, you got to be blasted on grain alcohol.
Some wisdom from Chris.
Got to be blasted. You can't be going in this thing sober. Talking about.
It's
well,
crazy.
There's nothing else. So there's nothing else to do in this house. They don't have any like activities. And there's a really good cut where the girls are like, what do guys do if they can't play video games? And then it cuts to the man room.
Whoa. Hey, okay. Wait. But they decide, what can they do because they can't play the video games? I bet, and they're all like, yeah, I bet they're just trying to see like how much they can just do push-ups or something. Like, hey, I bet I can do more push-ups than you. And then they hard cut, and they're literally doing that. All the dudes have no shirts on. They're just working out. One dude's doing like handstands, and I don't know. It's like,
he was definitely doing like workout push-ups. Competition.
Handstand push-ups.
Handstand push-ups. Yeah. Wow.
They're super hard. That guy's really in shape to do handstand push-ups. That's not like a day one activity.
That's what you want from your future husband, though.
But it was the single greatest cut of the show. For sure. It's just hilarious.
Yeah. That's definitely like of the minutia. That's like the only thing I wrote down. Oh, so like the other, I mean, not the only thing. I have other things, obviously. But one of the other things we haven't gotten into yet is like everyone on the show is essentially attractive. There's no like, oh, I'm getting stuck with like, you know, some people from the circle that like clearly very unattractive. Like some people on the show are unattractive.
Sick burn.
Some people that I am vaguely hand waved at who is unattractive. But there's no like classically unattractive people on this show. So, I mean, that's, you know, bonus points for going on the show, I guess. Getting on the show, I don't really, it's just, it's kind of weird when your thing is Love is Blind, but everyone is attractive. So like, okay, like you're not really testing anything at that point.
He's kind of made it so the looks part doesn't matter anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were, I don't know. It's weird because that's what I thought they were doing. And then at the end of the show, the promo was like, does race matter? Does age matter? Like whatever. But like some of those, like they talked about their age in the love pods. That wasn't a secret.
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I mean, they could talk about race, age, they could talk about anything.
Yeah.
So like they could talk about their looks, presumably.
And some did.
Yeah.
And that was a big turnoff for some. They weren't trusting the process.
Gotta trust the process. It's just it doesn't seem ingenuous to be like, this is not an experiment, but like they're framing it as an experiment, but like everyone is just attractive, so like I doubt anyone's going to be like open this giant hallway when they propose or try to get together and be like, nope, they're too unattractive and walk away. Like that's just like not going to happen.
Yeah.
Except I think season
the
2
promotional like showed that. It definitely showed that happening.
I think it was a fake
somebody
cut.
Somebody freaked out. Who knows?
It's a fake cut.
It's a bunch of fake bullshit. Netflix. Yeah. Bong Netflix.
All right. That's what we think.
So just as a note, I'll run down the list of names of people that like unclear if we'll ever get to know any of these people on this show. But we met Jessica. There's somebody named Lily May. There's we met Lauren. There's Amber. She's 26. She's the ex-tank mechanic. She actually got a decent amount of airtime, but no like dates, quote unquote, with anyone that we really like met.
In her unit, she was the first one to blow up another tank, though.
That was cool.
A fun fact.
Fun fact.
Fun fact.
She runs with the boys.
She blew up a tank.
We got Allie, 36. We've got Kay, 30. We've got Kelly, 33, health coach. We've got the oddest name, LC. Like the letters L and the letter C. She's 26. She's a recruiter.
But it's like AJ. We're like,
yeah, like sure, I guess.
When she was introducing herself to other people in the pod, when she says, "Hey, my name's Elsie," like, do you think she clarifies that it's the letter L and then the letter C and not like just
like E-L-S-I-E?
Yeah.
So I heard her name first, and I just wrote E-L-L-S-I-E, Elsie. Yeah. No one like, wait, who's Elsie? I was like, oh.
L-C.
So then the guys, I've got Wesley. He's 27. He's a sales manager. We got Carlton already, Mark, Cameron. There's John. He's 38. He's a CEO. He was in what? He was in. He was
oh,
for
guy.
Like 15, 20 seconds of the whole show.
Was he the one asking about race?
Yep. I think so.
Yeah, it was definitely that guy.
I was like, he might have gotten kicked off. But I think I saw him later in like one of the rooms.
He might come back in future episodes. Who knows? We don't really know. Then we got Barnett, which is Annabeth's favorite. We got Taylor, 31. I don't know. We got Rory, 28.
Which was the virgin?
He I don't
got,
know.
Oh, Taylor.
Got, oh, is that Taylor? Because he got some speaking time.
Being a virgin.
Not a lot, but...
we didn't see many dates, but we saw him in the house.
It led to like a great like... So in between like some of the days, they had like group convos in like the dorm room. And both like the men and the woman just like started day one talking about sex and like sex stories and all that. It was pretty great. Way to start strong.
That was very good.
One woman was like largely on the side, size matters.
Oh, yeah.
And like... It seemed like Netflix left it at size matters, which is like not what usually where that conversation is.
No, you can't have the motion without something to move.
Yeah.
An incredible conversation.
And that was the end of it. They just moved on from there. So yeah, that was, you know. There was also one last thing I have is like, so they show confessionals, like every American reality show, but they're all, every person's confessional, they're all wearing the same thing. So like one of the women is like wearing like a yellow dress. She's wearing a yellow dress every confessional. Harrison, what is the production schedule for these? Are they changing or is this like after everything's filmed? And then they do the confessionals. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they at least lumped a bunch of them together for this person. Because I can't imagine that they're just asking them to put the same outfit on again or that it's just happening. That just seems super weird. Like, they just lumped a bunch of them together.
Like, that has to be done at once. So
yeah.
Is this
like,
done?
Like, I'm not sure if they did it after day 10 or if they did, like, the first 5 days all at once or what.
Yeah, this is another thing I guess I have around, like, regardless of this show, but generally, when are these things done?
Testimonials,
like,
yeah.
Like, when are testimonials done? Like, a lot of shows make it seem like the testimonials are happening, like, in this second of this cut. Like, oh, that guy was an asshole. And then, like, 10 minutes later, like, in real time, they were like, yeah, we hugged and made up. And then there's a new confessional about, like, I love him, dude. And it's like... When did you get that confessional? That obviously didn't happen when that actually happened. So, like, it's clearly, there's some just weird, like, it just makes it so feel so much more fake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can't really, like, interrupt the events. Like, if you're, like, competing on the challenge, you can't be like, oh, man, I felt this or felt that. Like, you're just giving them rest time.
No, I understand, but that's why the confessionals to me just kind of don't work. Okay. Gotta get that Terrace House podcast in the show or like an interview after events instead of like.
It's like you're trying to get these people to recount what their genuine reaction was in that moment, like after the fact, after a bunch of other stuff has already happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're doing.
No, it's super weird though.
But they're like, you're missing the bit where the producers are like, hey, how did you feel after this happened? And I think that like just a general interview would come over like better in my eyes than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These pseudo fake confessionals.
Definitely.
You know
weird.
Who does real time interviews, Chris?
Who?
The XFL.
I have
as
not...
the players do anything right on the sideline, you've got sideline reporters doing live on the field interviews after a play.
I was there trying to watch
XFL.
I was trying to watch an XFL game where we were bowling and they turned off the XFL to go to college basketball.
No.
So I haven't watched a game yet.
It's not even March.
Let's go back to the love.
Yeah.
Back to the love.
Sports month.
We kind of stopped talking about the proposal, but one thing that made my blood freeze in the veins was when this man proposed to this woman and she accepts. And then I realized they can't leave. They're still stuck in there.
Yeah. They're stuck in there for another 5 days.
That is truly horrible.
I'm not like, that's not super clear to me because they're about, so... We definitely know that they didn't get to leave or see each other on the day that the proposal happened, but then the next day, which is where the cliffhanger happens, they're about to be revealed to one another. Mm. So I don't know after they're revealed if they get to leave the house. If they have to be separated after they meet each other to live in this continue living in this hellscape, then I think that's a problem.
Hellscape? This is a hellscape?
This is a hellscape.
I don't think this is a hellscape.
This is pretty tough. This feels like a science experiment.
Like, have you guys seen, what was it, the one where the people lived in the modern world or future world?
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. That was actually a hellscape.
Like, that's a hellscape.
that was really bad.
Like, you're on Survivor. That's a hellscape. This, I don't know.
This is like more psychological torture. But weird, this is, yeah, it's this is how experiment. I felt about the circle, too. That seems like psychological torture. You don't know how long you're in there for. You don't know what's going to happen. These alerts are going off all the time.
They have windows in the circle.
It's got to be harder to be on the circle than this show, though. Like, because you're isolated, you're by yourself the entire time. You're only interacting with this weird OS. Like,
you know, the circle's the best reality show to be on. Because you're sitting there, you get books. Like, you can just hang it out for days.
It's like a vacation.
You can do a puzzle.
You can do a puzzle. And you get to interact with people. Whereas, like, this show, there's none of that. You're just deciding who you're going to marry.
I mean,
what part have you missed, Annabeth? You're deciding who you're marrying.
It's a hellscape.
There could be a
That's
forced...
part of the reason why it is a hellscape. Is because they've trapped you in this facility.
Exactly.
And forced you to choose
with
someone to marry.
The purpose of getting you married.
Yeah.
Like a lab rat. Like the scientist in this show literally says, he's like, I came in with a hypothesis. Love is blind. Guess it's proven right.
He got paid so hard to say that.
For sure. The producer is literally signing a check as he's saying those words.
Yes.
Oh,
McDonald's, I'm loving it. Give him my check.
So on the proposal front here.
Yeah.
So at the end of the episode, we get to see the woman go up to like this giant glass. What looks, I don't know what kind of door this is. It's a circular door. Looks like it opens like in Star Trek. And then the guy.
It's definitely a spaceship door.
I do think 100%. They're in a spaceship. Yeah.
Then the guy goes to another door. It looks like it's the other side of the door.
Spoiler alert, it is not.
Essentially, it's like they both open to a tunnel. It seems it's some sort of tunnel of love that like they're on the both ends of.
Yes.
And they have like a giant spotlight to get their like silhouette in this hallway. And I guess
but they can't see the other person's silhouette.
It's
only for us.
And we've seen them.
We can see their bodies.
Nothing else to look at on the show but them, which is a part we've got to get into at some point, which is like the show is so focused on the sound.
Definitely.
But in reality, as you're watching it, you have nothing to do because you have no meat except to judge them purely on their looks. That's all they give you to judge
totally.
These people on.
So these cameras,
which is insane.
When they're in the love pod, there's some camera that circles around them that they keep cutting to the shot of. It's like going behind glasses and like around corners.
In HD, up close and personal, that's all you get. And you don't get any of the content of the stories. You just get some, they want kids, but like, let's show a close-up of their face right now. It's crazy of a show as a format. I can't believe it. That's my rant.
I can't believe you just, like, I'm trying to describe this proposal thing.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Okay, back to Tunnel of Love.
It got nuts, man.
Tunnel of Love.
The show is so crazy.
I mean,
the tunnel.
I was just going to go, presumably, they're like, both doors open at the same time, and they get to, like, run at each other, and kiss or whatever, I guess, is their hope.
Do you think they kiss?
They're engaged. They're going to kiss.
That's the first time you see them.
They're 100% going to kiss.
Yeah.
It's weird if they don't kiss.
The likely outcome is they're kissing, Annabeth, for sure.
I think that's the expectation. Like, if you don't kiss, it's like, oh, something's
fishy.
So, James, on your note, would you prefer this to be a podcast versus a TV show? Because like a podcast would be the perfect venue for a Love is Blind where you can only talk back and forth kind of story, because you can't get to you don't see them in a podcast.
Man, I don't know how that would go, because like then you're just listening to this crazy weird experiment first date situation. Like, I don't know. I just don't know how those conversations.
Well,
like, there must be a reason they didn't show more of it, because it must not have been very interesting.
I just think they're moving. It's moving.
I don't know. I just don't know how you could do it enough. Because if you're doing the same amount of content, there's not enough here to like that's listenable without any visual. Mm-hmm. So like, what are you listening to?
Obviously it's done by like This American Life guys. Like this is like done by real podcasting, not like Netflix like reality
so
show.
So like you're saying the conversations they have would just be constructed differently?
Well, it's presented differently. Like you have to get an actual host and not like.
Like, it's not literally just, like, the audio from this show.
Yeah, you can't listen to just the audio of the show and get what's going on. It is, like, a produced podcast about,
sure.
like, these people and their journey.
But, like, then we don't get to see what they look like. And, like, that's kind of part of what makes it interesting,
no.
I think.
What do you mean?
No.
No, it is.
No.
Well, I think we only get to see what they look like when they get to see each other. Like, and at that point, the podcast becomes the Netflix show.
So the podcast transitions into a TV show after the 10
days. Yeah,
right.
The podcast is the prequel.
And then you're like, oh, shit, I can't believe they end up together.
You're like, oh, my God, look at them.
Yeah.
So cute.
I mean, they could accomplish that same effect by wearing some kind of disguise on the show.
Oh my God. Oh! So, this is a fucking Masked Singer
it's
getting
the
proposed.
Best
I'm going to lose it. I can't handle any more of these updates.
I like this Masked Singer Love is Blind crossover. This is very good.
The fucking thingamabob, who's it is on this show. I'm going to go crazy.
I chose the alligator because.
I got to talk about another reality show that I think you guys have not done yet, Dating in the Dark, which is a very similar premise to this show. It's like the men and women live in different wings of a mansion, and the only way you can go on dates is in this pitch black room. And like it's the same premise of like, oh, like do we have to see each other to be in love? And then at the end of the show you get to see the other person and decide if you want to go on a date.
Question. How many of them have been naked in this room?
So they definitely, so when you go on the dates, they definitely set up some sort of, sometimes it's a sensual kind of date experience. It's like, oh, like we got a bubble bath date. Okay. And so they go in this pitch black room and they're like, so they have the like infrared cameras or whatever. And you see the people sort of like feeling their way around to find where the tub is. And then they kind of get in together.
And then surprises the tub full with snakes.
And then you see like, you know, someone throws a piece of their bathing suit out.
Oh. So what can you see at this point in time? Is it like
they can't
cameras?
See anything?
There's infrared, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so we can see with infrared. They apparently can't see anything.
Right, but you can see something.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got
that's
it.
A real dangerous show. Like you're taking a bubble bath, and now it's just like, oh, I'm gonna eat it, like walking out of here.
Definitely. But it's interesting because unlike this show, like you can feel the other person. Like if you can navigate that, like we are literally in the same room. So like if we want to sort of pet each other's bodies,
now we're talking about losing an eye. Now I'm in.
All right. One last thing. I think Harrison, you said you had something you wanted to discuss. I'm not sure you have it up
or
if you're still interested in discussing it.
So
essentially Netflix's classic or their new content models have a 3-week event. And this is one of their 3-week events. So
there will eventually be 10 episodes of this show. The first 5 are out now. Then the next 4 come out February 20th. And there's one on February 27th, 10 episodes.
So by the time you listen to this, there'll be 9 episodes out.
Right. The names of the episodes are kind of very telling for how the season's going to go. So I think it's pretty good. Episode 1 is Love Blind. Episode 2... Will You Marry Me? Episode 3, First Night Together. Episode 4, Couples Retreat. Episode 5, Last Night in Paradise. 6, Moving In Together. 7, Meet the Parents. 8, Countdown to I Do's. 9, Bachelor and Bachelorette Parties. 10, The Weddings. So they're really just like stepping down this thing. It's just like, just like the path to getting married, like in a crazy accelerated way.
It feels very much like Married at First Sight when you like read that titles like that.
Totally.
Question for your bachelor or bachelorette party, do you invite people from the show to it?
That you met for like 10 days.
I think that my prediction is that it will only be people from the show.
No. You're definitely bringing people from like your
what's
life.
I mean, the families and stuff. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
All right. So, we go to ratings? You want to go to ratings here? Harrison, you want to go first?
Oh, man. A lot to consider. with this show. Man, the last couple of Netflix reality shows we've done have been very dystopian feeling. It's been pretty interesting. I am very interested to see what happens in the show, certainly. I hated the season preview that they gave, and there were so many spoilers in there, and that definitely kind of ruins some of the fun of, I think, watching the show. But I think this is going to be another middle third show. Like, I thought it was interesting. I'm definitely interested to watch another couple episodes maybe and see where this thing goes. But middle third.
Brian, what do you got for us?
I'm thinking top of the bottom. I just wasn't like, I think it's a lot of these are going to end in disaster because there's also a lot of terrible people on this show. Like, you can kind of see why they're still like on the show. You see the reason
why they're still on the show. Are you saying why they're still single?
Yes.
Okay.
My bad. Well, I was trying to combine single and why they're on this show.
Yeah, I got it.
Although, I hope that somebody in this group watches this so that you can tell me if there's a guest priest that shows up for the wedding.
Ooh,
Judas priest?
Like a celebrity priest?
Yeah.
James, what do you got for us?
This one's going to go in the middle, bottom of the middle. While tempting to throw it in the bottom, mostly for the insane amount of spoilers that they throw at you in the end of the first episode, which is ridiculous. I can't believe they're doing that. Especially when it's on Netflix, the episodes are out, you're just going to hit next anyways. Netflix, stop being stupid. I don't know. Like, I think the thing was, it was fun to watch with a group of friends. Not a show that I would watch by myself at all. Because I think part of the fun is the discussing and the reactions and kind of experiencing that with others. So while fun, I can't really see kind of going forward with it. So it's going to be in the bottom of the middle.
I mean, I think I like the show the most out of everyone, but I think it's close to a top third, but I'm going to put it in the middle just because the way they introed the people and the connections they tried to make really limits how well I liked the first episode of the show. But I do think that this show has a very good potential of being in the top third. I'll probably keep watching it, so it'll probably be, we'll see. We'll come back to it. But I think that I'm really interested to see what these people do and like how their lives intermingle and like how they going forward. Annabeth, what do you got for me?
I think I agree with a lot of Chris's thoughts on this because I think overall I like this show and I like the idea, but I don't really feel invested in any person at all who's on it. So I think there's potential if they sort of give me a little bit more flavor of these people. And I'm very fascinated to see what would come out of this horrific experiment. And I don't know who this idea guy at Netflix is who keeps wanting to put people in these boxes to see what happens.
But you actually have to give your rating.
Middle.
Okay.
I can't tell definitely if you're like middle. More for the love or the train wreck.
I mean, like, I want to believe in love. I think this is a particularly bad way of doing the love. So, while I want to have hope, my hope is low.
And like, it's definitely not an accident that like Netflix is like starting to make all these shows in these warehouses and hotels and stuff because it must just be like a really cheap way to like these seem like really cheap shows to make, and it's
I don't think it's as cheap as you think it is.
I think this show is pretty cheap to make. I mean, they had to make the whole Pods set. I guess that's a pretty big.
You don't know future episodes, like when they start going on like whatever island and whatever stuff they're doing.
They have to pay for some weddings.
Episode one is cheap. Mm-hmm. Episode one is very cheap.
I mean, some of these reality shows, like the ones that just reuse the same mansion, that's a cheap show.
Oh yeah, I mean that's true.
There's a mansion, you use it. Like, they built the set. They found all these crazy people that want to get married.
That's true.
You're paying these people to get, like, they're, and, like, the production values of the Netflix shows, like, as, like, I consider The Circle, like, a turning point in Netflix shows, from what I could tell, is, like, production value is really high. It's not like they get great camera guys. They've, like, the producers seem to be at least decent. Whereas, like, you watch some of these TLC shows or, like, True TV, like, just garbage. Like the camera work is shoddy. The editing is shoddy. The set design is shoddy. Like Netflix is spending money. Not cheap.
Production was good. The music was really good too throughout, except for the very first musical selection. I don't know what the hell that was, but the intro song was horribly bad, like comically bad. But throughout the episode, the music was really spot on, I felt like, and really, really went well with the vibes and the emotions that were happening in that time.
Yeah, we don't really ever go into the sound because there's usually nothing notable except for like MTV tends to have actually good music. That's about it.
They definitely own the most rights to music.
Yeah.
Be a very short segment of who put this on. Sound escapes. Ooh.
Is that our bumper?
That's the bumper.
That's the bumper.
Was that a School of Orcas?
Ooh.
So, Annabeth. We have not gotten your circle review. Were you on the pod for the circle?
Yeah.
So you finished the circle.
Yes. And I think it was last week I adjusted my rating to the top.
To the top.
Did Shubham win?
Yeah. So we got to put a spoiler alert if we're going to talk about it. Are we all good to talk about some spoilers?
This is our only update. So if you haven't seen it, stop now if you want to. So who won, Annabeth?
Joey, Broey Joey.
Yeah, buddy.
Joey is buddy. He's putting on his face mask.
I haven't seen any of the show except for the first episode.
You weren't on the first.
But you saw the first episode.
Was he on the first
episode? He's on the first episode. Okay. He's like the guy from the Jersey Shore. Oh, man.
Real blank.
No memory.
No memory.
Friend of Shuby. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just. Shuby is the only one you remember, really.
He's the one who gave Shuby the Shuby nickname, I believe.
Shuby.
Oh, that guy. Shuby. So he just played Shuby. Everybody? How did he win?
No, he won by, I think he won by being a very loyal friend to, so basically it starts with, I think it was six people. And so basically those people, most of them just continued for the entirety of the show. So they kept introducing new people, but this original core was very loyal to each other. And Joey was often in a position of power, and he like kept saving everybody. He was like really loyal to his boy Shuby, whatever. So I think he was a good friend, and because they all stayed loyal to each other, a bunch of these original people made it to the end.
Mm. Yeah. So they just kept kicking out the new people.
Right. They keep kicking That's off weird. The new people. And I think a big part of how you win the show is you're just kind of lucky with how it all pans out at the time the show ends. Because like at the time the show was ending, like Shuby's popularity had like soared and then like fallen a little bit because people didn't trust his friend Rebecca. And I think Joey was just like a kind friend to everyone. No one had complaints about Joey. And like at the time the show wrapped, he was definitely the most popular one.
Shuby did come in second, though. So.
Yeah.
What does he win?
So you win money. It was, I forget how much money.
Some not very large amount of money, I think.
And then do they all see each other in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they all like did like some sort of like kind of reunion-esque
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it was a reunion show, plus they announced the winner at the reunion. Yeah.
Well, so
what happened to all the catfishers?
In the house on the very last like rating ceremony after the final rating, they all go to this one room in the house to have a dinner together, and that's when you get to like see everybody face to face for the first time.
That
so
was
people
crazy.
Are walking in, like people are who they say they are, or people aren't, and they're like, "Who are you?"
Yeah, I mean Rebecca was the only real catfisher at the end.
Yeah,
and she was he/she was there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Seaburn.
Like there was interesting where somebody was a catfisher that came in and then confessed that she was a catfisher like almost immediately. It was really weird.
It seemed like it might have been her strategy.
Yeah.
All along.
I think so too.
Yeah. It definitely came with some sort of strategy, but like it seemed like this season with these people, they were just like genuine people. They made friends and they just kept their friends in the show like honestly, that's what you would do. I don't even think it was like a legit strategy for any of them, really, or at least some of them. It was just like, well, I love Joey. I love whatever. Like, just keep him in. Like, these new people, like, I don't know.
They should have had, the mechanic of introducing new people one at a time, like, terrible.
Yeah, just
like it was terrible.
You gotta throw a curveball at them.
They should have done like Survivor teams and had two different sets of people in the house and then merged them all together and see what happens.
So
here's the thing: can they do the show again?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They're
certainly
well, but like, how are they gonna like now? Like, I feel like people are just gonna be scheming. Like now that they,
it's gonna
know
be
the
way
is.
Different if they do a season two.
That's
but
I mean.
They could do it. Like, I mean, there would be a lot more strategy and game playing, I think, going on.
So
or maybe not.
The Circle is not, this is not the first season of The Circle. There is a UK version of The Circle. So,
yeah, but now that people have actually seen it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean.
Did Shuby and Joey and all these people see the UK Circle?
Probably not. But I agree. Like, I don't think it necessarily, you just need to get a good group of people to go and do it. You can't get like the schemers. Like the producers can obviously like need to like weed out the scheming people. Cause like there was some kind of schemer and I was so glad that he got kicked off because it just was like a bad vibe to the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely said that in the like previous episodes where like season, like it was a great show, but I don't know if they could do a season two mainly because I don't think they could find this level of like good people to be on the show.
Yeah, this show is like 100% based on how good these people were, and these people were amazing. I think that I watched the first season of Are You the One and I was like, they can never do this again. Now people know the strategy or whatever and they can like plan beforehand, and then they just find people who won't do that.
Yeah,
and it's great.
It's definitely a lot more about finding the right people than anything. So like, I think they could do another season. Whether it's going to be good or not, I don't know. That depends on, you know, Netflix and people they find. All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter at Hoop of the Sun. You can find us on Facebook.com/Hoop of the Sun. Give us questions and suggestions at HoopoftheSun@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys next time.
Have you ever played the Kerbal Space Program, Chris?
The Kerbals? Got to get them meeps into space.
Meeps.
Or, I don't know what they're called. I'm just
I think that they're called Kerbals.
Kerbals?
I don't know.
That seems more reasonable than meeps.
Yeah, where the fuck did you get meeps from?
Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies are called meeps? Meeples?
Well, it's like the meep and, you know, the guy named Meep. He does the meep.
Oh, Beaker.
Are
he's
meeps,
not a Muppet those, baby, that's just a regular
meep,
Muppet.
Meep, 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 meep.
Are those things you get for Easter? The meeps?